I suspect that Jane Austen would be wholly astonished by her popularity 2 centuries after her novels of manners were written. In fact, Pride and Prejudice just passed its bicentennial, having been published in 3 hardcover volumes early in 1813. A second edition came out later that year, and a third edition in 1817. Since then, well, it's just been an explosion. Translations into many languages. The book has sold some 20 million copies worldwide. The story of proud, witty, and intelligent Elizabeth Bennet and her on-again, off-again relationship with the handsome but aloof Mr. Darcy has been adapted at least 10 times for film, television, theater. One of the latter is entertaining audiences at the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park, and here to tell us more about it is its director, Blake Robison. Welcome to Around Cincinnati, Blake.
Thanks very much, Rick.
Let's start with your sense as to just why Pride and Prejudice is a romantic story that still resonates with readers and theatergoers in this day and age.
Well, Pride and Prejudice is one of the great romances of all time. It's kind of the romance that many others are based on. I think that it has now transcended any single performance. The story carries the day, and part of the fun is to come back to a film or a stage version and see various actors embodying these characters. And, of course, we have great fun comparing who the sweetest Elizabeth Bennet was or who the most dashing Mr. Darcy was. I think, ultimately, it is a story about the true value of love. We follow several couples from first sight through courtship to marriage. Jane and Bingley are the pure, the simple, the sincere couple in the play. And of course, Elizabeth and Darcy have a much more complex, fiery, independent sort of relationship. And I believe that what Austen is trying to say is that because of those attributes, because they're working outside of the confines of their social structure, they gain a more valuable love, one that is based on mutual admiration and respect.
And you say it sort of transcends, and that's certainly true. You know, the story is set in Hertfordshire, near London. The characters are mostly members of the landed gentry. It's not a social milieu that many of us are that familiar with unless we've read a lot of Jane Austen, and yet we still connect with those characters.
We do, because it's a character-based story. And, you know, we're all experts on family, and so we see these quirky family members and all the other people who populate the world of Austen, and we can make connections to people in our own lives or even people in our fantasy lives. I mean, what young woman didn't dream at some point of being Elizabeth Bennet and staking out on her own? She's one of the great strong female characters in all of literature. Certainly not the first. I mean, you can look back and find an Antigone in various Shakespearean heroines who are just as independent and dazzling. But there's something about Elizabeth Bennet that still resonates for folks.
Yeah, she really connects with us. I understand that you've staged this particular version of Pride and Prejudice a couple of times previously.
I have. This will be my 3rd staging of this particular script. And I'm very enamored with this adaptation. You know, adaptations of literature are reductive by nature. When you're turning it into a film or a play, you're going to have to leave something out. So choices are made by the adapters. Oftentimes, you whittle the story down to a point where you barely recognize it anymore. What I love about this adaptation is that it doesn't do that. This is a big, sweeping adaptation. And when you come to see the play, you're going to see that it's populated with all the many secondary characters who make the story so fun and so dazzling. Of course, seeing it in the Mark stage in the Playhouse, there's a certain amount of spectacle involved too. So there will be dances, there will be teas, there will be gorgeous costumes and an enormous set, which has some very unique features to it. So I believe it's going to be a Pride and Prejudice that you could only experience in the theater and that you could only really see at the Playhouse.
Sounds like a first-class ticket back to the early 19th century.
I sure hope so.
The adapters of it, it's Joseph Hanratty and J.R. Sullivan. Have you worked with them or their work, their adaptations other than this?
Yes, I know them both. They're directors and former artistic directors of theaters. So they are craftspeople. They are not playwrights, you know, over and over and over. They are adapters in the sense that they're skilled at taking the story and telling it in a particularly theatrical way. The first time I directed this was at the Utah Shakespeare a number of years ago, and Joe Hanratty, one of the adapters, was there. And so I had the great pleasure of working on it with him, available to me as a resource. And now as I'm going into the third one, every time I come back to it, there's something new to find. Mm-hmm. The one constant for me has been the wonderful actress, Kate Cook, who plays Elizabeth Bennet. So with all apologies to my wife, I have to say that Kate Cook is my Elizabeth. And for me, she captures all of Lizzie's wit and intelligence and vulnerability. And now we've surrounded her with a brand new cast of Cincinnati actors and Broadway actors from New York. It's going to be quite special.
And I take it audiences who saw last year's book club play saw her, although in a very different character.
Yes.
She was sort of a control freak, a newspaper columnist,
I believe.
Right.
She played the queen bee of the book club named Anna. But, of course, one of the fun things about seeing actors in different roles is that you see different sides of their personality.
And it's putting her with a lot of new actors, obviously, even though she's done it several times, will bring out more nuances.
Absolutely. She's always open to new ideas and new influences. And so we're discovering things about the scenes that we didn't even know were there, even though we've already worked on it.
Well, that's part of the fun of it, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And coming back to it like this. You have used the word epic to describe this production, and I know that from everything that I've read, it's going to be quite lavish. Can you tell us a little bit more? You've got a great costume designer who's working with you on this and a set designer, too.
That's right. Bill Black does the costumes. For audience members who might have seen our production of Three Musketeers last year, he was the one who did those period costumes. He's just has a wonderful eye for detail and this kind of Regency period plays to his strong suit. Joe Tilford, who did the set, has done many, many productions at the Playhouse over the years. This is my first time working with him, but he knows the space exceptionally well. And he has created a single Regency environment. Of course, you go to many, many different places, right? You go to Longbourn and Rosings Park and Netherfield and Meriden, and you can't do one huge set that keeps spinning around and changing itself. So you have to have a single environment that captures the heart or the essence of the story. And within that environment, you can be anywhere you need to be just by changing the angle of an actor, or moving a chair, or shifting of lights. One of the fun things is that we have a giant room, a wall that's covered with paintings, as walls of the era were, from floor to ceiling. And in this case, someone had the bright idea of talking to our local museums and asking if they had access to various Regency paintings. And so of the 40 or 50 paintings that you will see when you come into the Marx Theater, 12 to 15 of them came from the Cincinnati Art Museum and the Taft Museum. Now, they're not the actual paintings. They wouldn't let us hang those on our set. But they're very, very high-res copies of those paintings. And so there's a fun local tie-in to our particular Austin world.
What a great local connection to have made there. Let me ask you this. If someone has been a longtime devotee, a Janeite, as we call such
folks.
Or
a Janiac.
Yes. Why would they want to come and see this particular stage production of Austin's story?
Well, if they're a real Janeite, they just can't get enough, right? I mean, they'll see absolutely anything.
Absolutely true.
Again, I think the fun is in seeing new actors take on these roles. Everybody has their favorites. You know, some people will just go to the mat arguing that the 8-hour BBC epic with Colin Firth and Jennifer Ely was the be-all and end-all, and nobody could ever do any better. But I know people who don't feel that way as well. You can go back to the Laurence Olivier version or the newer Keira Knightley version. So come see these actors take on these roles. They will find something different in these characters. That's the fun of it.
Yeah, and as you said, even though you've directed this specific script now for the third time, you are finding new things about it, and I suspect that will be true for
absolutely.
Folks.
That's part of the fun of directing is the discovery process.
Yeah. Have you had a lot of advance interest in this from folks locally who are Jane Austen fanatics?
Yes, I have to admit that the advance interest, the advance pre-sale at the box office and everything else is very, very encouraging. We did a panel discussion at a Joseph Beth Booksellers recently, which was very well attended. So, yeah, folks are out there. People love the story and they care about the story. And I believe that it still has something to say to us today in our modern busy world where we have so many things weighing in on us, weighing us down. This kind of examination of love is still meaningful to us. It reminds us about the simple joys and fundamental values that we as human beings had back then and still have today.
Well, whether or not you out there are a Janiac or a neophyte when it comes to Austen, I suspect that this production of Pride and Prejudice will be something that you would enjoy seeing. It has been in previews this weekend. Opening night is Thursday, and performances will continue through April 5th. You'll find more information about the production and the Playhouse by going to wvxu.org, where you'll find a link to the Playhouse's website. My guest this evening has been Blake Robeson, artistic director at the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park, who has staged this epic production of Pride and Prejudice. Thanks for taking the time to be here tonight, Blake.
Thank you, Rick.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Pender.